the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
The reading is from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, and it's on page 1149. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. God, our Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, whom you have made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. You know all things and you know our hearts. We ask that you will speak to us through the preaching of your word. May its truth drive out the false wisdom of the world and teach us true wisdom from you. Grant Rachel the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your truth so that it speaks to our need, to encourage or rebuke, to correct or strengthen. Let her words be your message to us this day. May they be planted in our minds and hearts and bring transformation to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Good evening, everyone. My name's Rachel. I'm just going to move some furniture. I haven't got any slides today, but I've gone old school. And I'm going to draw some pictures because sometimes that's kind of easier to explain and draw, I find. If you want to see the pictures and you can't currently see this word, there's like plenty of space here if you want to move forward. But everything I'm going to do in visual form, I'm saying as well. So don't worry too much about that. I'm going to move that out of the way as well. So that, sorry, Chris, you'll have to move it later. Right. Pen. Great. So my name's Rachel. I'm a member here. I spend my days overseeing our young families ministry, and the rest of my time is currently used cooking nice food, hanging out with my friends, trying not to get into endless doom scrolling or TV watching. I hope I'm not the only one who would say that that's the case. This evening, we're finishing our Wise Guys series, where we've looked at wisdom literature throughout the Bible and what we can learn about being wise from these texts. Tonight, we've heard this section from the middle of James, and I'm just going to give us a few thoughts from that, which I think really helps summarize where we've been throughout this series. And probably I'm going to repeat some of the same things that we might have heard, themes that we've had throughout the series. And really, I've got one point that I'm going to just say multiple times in different ways. So that's because I think it's important and hopefully will help us to grow in our own wisdom. I think in some ways tonight and a lot of this series, what we've thought about might feel a little bit theoretical. But in the coming weeks, we're going to be digging into the whole book of James, both in the morning series and in our evening series. And that will nicely give us a bit more space to unpack really practically what James says about everyday wise living. So we've got that to come in the following weeks as well. So here's the big idea for us to focus on this evening from James. Pens at the ready. Wisdom is all about humility. And that humility is what leads to a good and godly life. There we go, spelling. I didn't really think about having to focus on spelling. Humility. Google AI tells me, is a balanced, accurate view of oneself, characterized by freedom from pride, an awareness of one's limitations, and a willingness to learn. Now, I think that definition is a helpful starting point for us, but I think there's a couple of really important things that are missing from what Google thinks about humility. The first, for us particularly, is God wasn't in that description, and also other people. Those are the things that are missing. Humility, I think, having read a bit about humility and pondered it quite a lot, I think is about our perspective. I also apologise that every time I draw a stick person, it's by token in the shape of what one would traditionally think of as a stick man. That's only because it's easier as I just do it quickly. Humility is about our perspective of who God is and who we are in light of that. And also, then, in relation to other people. In this series, we've considered that wisdom is about looking to God. Nice little pair of eyes there, looking up to God. Trusting God and holding the world in the perspective of his bigger plans and purposes. That, I think, draws together what true humility is. It is not just thinking of ourselves less, as some would describe it, but about focusing on God to tell and show us who we are and therefore how we relate to other people as well. The word origin for humility comes from lowness or small or close to the ground, and has mostly evolved over time to be thought about in relation to pride and not putting ourselves higher than other people. And while I think that's kind of a helpful dimension to think about, that original language also reminds me about the things that we talked about from Ecclesiastes, about our smallness and powerlessness and the meaninglessness of life. Humility gives us this wisdom that our perspective on life is fleeting and limited in comparison to God's. Job grasped this in some way, recognizing God's power over all time and over all circumstances. That's a crown, by the way. Humility can mean letting go of human expectation and focusing on God's character and allowing all of our other relationships and wise choices to be made in the light of him first. This is where wisdom comes from, and living the way that God intends. The rest of this section in James talks about that. Oh, you thought that was only one page. So James contrasts humility from verse 13. The words that he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." And he contrasts that with the next couple of verses. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." He contrasts that good godly wisdom and good deeds with this bitter envy and selfish ambition. These things are earthly and of the devil. This is like really strong, serious language. That leads to disorder and evil practice. He's making a really clear warning here that if our starting point for wisdom and for living is ourselves, then then that perspective can lead to us saying that we are what matters and we are the center of the universe and all the decisions that come from that. Then the fruit of our hearts from that is stuff that is going to bring about disorder to our lives and will also have a negative impact on our hearts and on the way that we relate to other people. Ambition, boasting, selfishness, envy, bitterness. These are all things that impact both our own hearts and also those around us. They're not exclusively about us. They affect other people. That disorder that he talks about, I think, is personal and it's relational. Humility that leads to wisdom is about bringing the right order into our hearts as we allow God to take center stage and we let him take control of our hearts, our perspectives. Like Gemma talked from when she talked about from Song of Songs, and she talked about above all other loves, God should be our first love. He brings about godly order to our decision-making and right living through his spirit into our lives and our relationships. His right living impacts then our relationships. This is a wonderful reflection, I think. When I was mulling on this, it made me think about what we see in Genesis chapter 1, when in the beginning there is this dark, chaotic disorder, and God comes and he brings order, life, and flourishing to the world and to the people that he makes. They come from dust and lowness, and he brings them up under his lordship. And they are elevated because of who he is, who he has created them to be. Now, we live in the consequence of sin, this disordered nature of our hearts that leads us back towards disorder, away from godly living and the way that he wants us to live. But good news. Through Christ's redemptive power on the cross, taking that sin away, this is gone. And now we have the Spirit living in us who can lead and guide us back towards the flourishing that God intended for us when he created us and designed us to live under his rule, in his way. Wise living is then how our daily choices come from his work in us, flowing out into the world. Let me write God there, just to be clear. There you go. So what does this actually look like? We can theoretically talk about wisdom being great and how we want to grow in it. But in our daily lives, how do we see the reality of that? If we grow in humility and wisdom, what changes? What do our lives look like tomorrow and the next day when we interact with people in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families? Well, James gives us this great list of characteristics. There you go, I pre-wrote this because I thought that would take too much time. This list from verses 17 and 18. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemaking, and harvesters of righteousness. These are the fruit of a God-first and loving others perspective, that humility of wise living. And as we'll see in future weeks throughout James, James tackles a lot of how Christians should live differently, calling out earthly wisdom that only leads us to brokenness and dissatisfaction. This passage is right in the middle of the book, and it gives us this summary of a life characterized by humility, with God in control. Then we can become wise in making decisions that reflect the perfect and wise character of Jesus, which is what Clive talked about last week. He is the one that perfectly embodies all of these things. So what I'd love us to just take a minute to reflect, to listen to God, and I'm going to read this list again up against some of the characteristics that James calls out in other parts of this letter to consider which one maybe for us stands out this evening. Which one do we find particularly challenging? Which one might God's Spirit be nudging us to step back into humility and to his fresh transformational power to reorientate ourselves back under his lordship today so that the choices that we make are full of godly wisdom that lead to these good deeds that will impact on the people around us, not just on ourselves. So after that, and then I'm going to, as I read, I'm going to leave a little bit of space for quiet reflection after that, and then I'm going to read just a little bit more and finish off with a prayer. So I'm going to read this list, and I'm going to kind of read alongside it some of the other things that James talks about, other points that might actually be the things that we're struggling with in our hearts, that we want these things to replace them with. So humility looks like being pure, not corrupt. Being peace-loving, not coveting. Being considerate, not self-indulgent. Being submissive, not boastful. Being full of mercy, not judgmental. Producing good fruit, not being greedy. Being impartial, not showing favoritism. Being sincere, not slanderous. Being people who bring peace, not grumbling. And being righteous, not led by disordered desires. Let's have a minute of quiet to reflect on those things. Philippians chapter 2 says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a human being. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we live in humility, putting God as the center of our hearts and our lives, then this is the fruit that we can expect to see from that we will reflect more of what Christ is like, how he is described here, obedient and humble in nature. And as we do that, then we know that others will see him and he will be glorified. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we worship you for your love and humble obedience that leads to our redemption and the reordering of reality in your victory over sin and death. We're sorry when we don't follow your example of love and humility, when we make unwise choices and when our selfishness brings disorder into our hearts and our spheres of influence. Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts to reorientate us back to you so that we might always look to Jesus first, his example of humility, and from that we would make wise choices that reflect your love and your kingdom values to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to reflect a little bit more on that, and Chris is going to help us to do that, I think.